Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, whose blessed Son made himself known to his disciples in the breaking of bread, open the eyes of our faith, that we may behold him in all his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the lessons.
A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now, as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. At this moment he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he is to suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way here, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. For several days he was with the disciples in Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way, gathered together with Simon Peter, Thomas, called a twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of the disciples. Simon Peter said to him, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got in the boat that they might that night, and they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but his disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have you no fish? Have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes as he was naked and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging a net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of his disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you fastened your own belt and to go anywhere you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Two incredible passages of Scripture. Two of my favorites. In the first, we see this man, Saul. Saul, who believes that it is his job to imprison and even murder people because they don't believe the right thing. Saul, who stood by and watched with approval as a man was stoned to death because he believed in Jesus. Saul, who watched as the rocks hit this man's body, causing bruising and swelling and blood hit his head, until a human life was gone. And Saul stood there and watched with approval. He was violent. He was arrogant. I always picture him as being a jerk. He was well educated and thought that he knew everything. When God called Saul, God had to blind him because Saul was so certain of what he was supposed to be doing for God that God needed to take away his sight and make him completely lost. Like a baby. God made it so Saul couldn't even find his way around a room by himself. God had to strip him of everything in order to get his attention because he was that sure of himself. And when on the third day God asks Ananias to come and heal Saul, Ananias says, "Are you kidding? I know that guy. I'm not going near him." Everyone who believed in Jesus knew about this man, Saul. They knew how dangerous and arrogant he was, and Ananias did not want to go near him. That was the kind of person that God chose to follow. A violent, arrogant, wild man. You know, it's funny. I don't know where we get it from, but almost all of us think that we've got to somehow get our lives in order before we can serve God. We say to God, "I want to follow you, but let me get my kids to behave better first. Or I need to get my marriage in order, or my checkbook, I haven't balanced it in months. How can you call me? My life is a mess. Wait till I get things in order, and then I'll be able to serve you." But if God waited for all of us to get our acts together before we could serve God, nothing would ever happen, right? God calls us before we get our act together. In fact, sometimes I think that God calls the people who are broken, the people who've made big mistakes, the people whose lives are kind of a mess, and God uses all of that. God is not waiting for you to get your life in order. God doesn't have time to wait. There's a beautiful scene from the movie Beaches. It's a movie about these two women that grow up as best friends. They meet as little girls. They like each other right away. They send each other letters for years. In their 20s, they get an apartment together in New York. One of them is learning how to be a high-powered attorney, and the other one, an actress and comedian and singer. Throughout their lives, they struggle, they fight, but they are devoted to each other. And when the woman, Hillary, becomes a lawyer and has a baby and her husband leaves her, her best friend, Cece, is right there, even helping to deliver the baby. After a few years, Hillary, the lawyer, becomes terminally ill and she dies, leaving a 6-year-old little girl. In her will, Hillary writes that she wants her best friend Cece, the actress and comedian, to become her little girl's new mother. So in this beautiful scene, this wild red-headed actress, Cece, has to go into the bedroom of this little girl and explain to her that she is going to become the girl's new mom. The little girl is frightened and devastated after her mother's death, and she is lying on the bed holding her kitty cat when Cece comes in the room. She sits down on the bed and says, "Victoria, I just read your mother's will, you know, the things that she wanted to happen after she died, and your mother wanted me to become your mom." And I don't know what she was thinking, because I'm incredibly selfish. I just have to tell you that right away. And I can be mean. Sometimes things come out of my mouth and I can't believe I said them. Sometimes I swear. And I like to get up in the middle of the night and eat a bowl of ice cream, even though I know I shouldn't. I can't believe your mother wanted me to be your mom. What in the world was she thinking? The little girl is taken aback by this woman with the big bushy red hair who's so honest, and she looks at Cece and says, "But do you want me?" And Cece says, "Of course I want you. Everybody wants you. Your Aunt Vesta wants you. Your grandparents want you. I want you. But your mom picked me." I don't know what she was thinking. And the little girl looks at her and says, "But can I bring my cat?" And Cece looks at her and says, "Of course you can bring your cat. You can bring any old thing you want." And they both start to cry and hold each other. If God is going to wait for us to get our act together before we can serve God, God is going to be waiting for an awfully long time, right? You know, the Archbishop of Canterbury published a letter yesterday, Justin Welby. He published a letter because he discovered that his dad was not really his dad. I don't know how this came out. But he wrote that as a child, he grew up with two raging alcoholics for parents. Both his mother and his father drank all the time. His mother has since gotten sober, but the man he thought was his father has never stopped drinking. And somehow he discovered that this man is not his biological father. So here he is, the Archbishop of Canterbury, writing to us, admitting, "My life is a mess." You may think that I have it all together, but I'm just hanging on by a thread, too. I'm just trying to follow Jesus, like you. You know, when the risen Christ appears on the shore of the sea, he appears to Peter, and Peter has made every mistake in the book. He says everything wrong. He's a complete bumbler. He denies that he even knows Jesus. He lies and lets Jesus die alone in pain. And when he sees the risen Christ on the shore and realizes that it's Jesus, he's such an idiot that he puts his clothes on and jumps in the water. Who does that? And he gets to the shore. And the most amazing thing is what Jesus asks him. Jesus doesn't say, "Are you going to get your act together now?" Jesus doesn't say, "Will you say you're sorry?" Jesus doesn't ask Peter to apologize or to try to get it right or to do better the next time or anything like that. The only thing that Jesus does is ask Peter a very simple question. And he asks the same question of you and of me. It has nothing to do with our past or the things we do right or don't do right or how we feel or don't feel. The only question Jesus asks Peter is this: do you love me? Do you love me? Yes or no? Because it's really not about me, and it's not about you, and it wasn't about Peter, and it wasn't about Saul, and it wasn't about Abraham or Moses or David or Esther or anybody else that God has called. It's not about the things they had done or the things they hadn't done. God doesn't wait for us to get our lives all together. God just says, "Do you love me?" And if the answer is yes, and I suppose it is, because look at you sitting here today, if the answer is yes, then our way forward is clear. Jesus tells it to us straight. "Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my lambs." Don't spend all your time worrying if you've got the right gifts for that ministry or the wrong gifts. Don't spend all your time worrying about whether you're going to be able to do it or not be able to do it. Just start. God doesn't expect for you to be perfect. God doesn't expect for you to have all the answers, or really any answers at all. The only thing you really need an answer to is that one question. Do you love God? Do you? If you do, then let's begin. Amen.
Let us stand and affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Almighty God, we give you thanks for the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for showing us the path to eternal life. Risen Christ, we ask your blessing on all who have died, that they may know the joy of the resurrection life. I invite you to speak their names aloud. Risen Christ, we pray for all who are ill, lonely, or suffering in any way. May they find the peace that passes all understanding. I invite you to speak the names of those who need our prayers. Risen Christ, we pray for all victims of violence, especially for Christians who are being persecuted around the world, that they and their families may find peace and strength. Risen Christ, we pray for those who serve in the military, for their family and friends, that they may be held in the palm of your hand. Risen Christ, we pray for peace throughout the world, especially in the Middle East, that there may be understanding among races and peoples. Risen Christ, we pray for the good use of our natural resources, that we may be led to nurture and maintain this planet. Risen Christ, we pray for the city of Jacksonville. Help us to care for this city. Bless our government and our schools. Help us to show your love here in the core of downtown. Risen Christ, we pray for this cathedral and for all those who walk through these doors, that we may be led to glorify you in all things. We give thanks for all the blessings of this life. Risen Christ.
Gracious and loving God, our Heavenly Father, you have called us in this diocese to a goodly community of faith. You have called us also to bring others to know and love you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Because it is only by your mercy that we can do those things you require of us, we pray that you would give us a special measure of your grace as we seek to be obedient to your great commission. Assist us, O Lord, and help us as we set out to do those things you would have us to do, to bring others to the knowledge and love of you. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord, hear the prayers of your people and what we have asked faithfully. Grant that we may obtain effectually to the glory of your name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. My beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. We're so glad you're here today. So glad to see you all. If you're new or visiting and you raise your hand, the ushers will bring you a gift, but hold it up until they find you. Welcome, so glad you're here. Just keep those hands up until the gift arrives. We're blessed with your presence here with us today. There's a lot of wonderful things happening, as always, here at the cathedral, so please be sure to read your bulletin. After this service, we're going to have a wonderful celebration of the ministry of Sue Ingeman here in Tolliver Hall. So please come into Tolliver Hall. A light lunch will be provided. There's plenty for everyone. We want to celebrate her incredible ministry with us, so please join us after the service for that. We also in Tolliver Hall have a particularly beautiful exhibit. Talk about being called by the Lord. Family Support Services has put up photographs of children who need a home. They need foster care or adoption. There is not only a picture of their face, but also a little paragraph describing the child. So please walk through the exhibit, look at the faces of the children, and pray. We need to find homes for them. Maybe you can open your home. Maybe you know of someone else who can. But let's pray together about this. Next Sunday, there will be an Age Well workshop after the 11 o'clock service here at the cathedral. A light lunch will be provided then, too, and the details are in your bulletin. Tomorrow night, we have a wonderful opportunity. As all of you know, our country is incredibly divided right now politically, and we often demonize the other side. So the cathedral is beginning to offer a wonderful opportunity to do what is called civil discourse. We are inviting you tomorrow night from 5:30 to 8 to come and talk about the issue of health care. And what we're going to do is provide a safe and well-facilitated environment for you to actually talk about the complexity of the issue together. And the thought behind all this is actually a very ancient one, that we learn when we disagree, and that disagreement is actually an opportunity to discern God's will rather than just a time to get mad, right? So we hope that these civil discourse forums that we're offering will provide you with an opportunity to learn more about an issue and to listen to your brothers and sisters in Christ who may differ and disagree from you. So tomorrow night, 5:30 to 8, dinner and discourse. Remember that our Lord does not wait for your life to be perfect before calling you to follow.
We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in the word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacraments of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My brothers and sisters, life is short, and there is too little time to gladden the hearts of those around us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.